In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our sermon text is both our first reading from Acts 2 and our gospel reading from John 14. Brothers and sisters in Christ, it should be no surprise that the very first thing that comes with the Spirit is preaching. That's what he does. As our catechism teaches, he calls, gathers, enlightens, and sanctifies his whole Christian church on earth. All of that through the Word, through preaching, through telling the mighty works of God. But preaching is perhaps one of the more mundane things the church does today. It's week in and week out. Some weeks are better than others. Preaching can sometimes be boring or seem irrelevant, and other times exciting and seeming to speak directly to me. It appears to depend on the skill of the preacher, whether he looks up enough, crafts his sentences in just the right way, and gives us something to do. Sometimes we track with the preacher fairly well. Other times, we haven't got a clue what he's talking about. But in all of this, how often do we think about the Holy Spirit and what he's doing among us? I've got to admit, this isn't just a problem among those in the pew. Pastors forget this all too well. We think it's got something to do with us, our skill, our eloquence, our winsomeness. But at the end of the day, we preachers are just instruments of the Holy Spirit. We just work here. He runs the show because he runs the Word. He calls, he gathers, he enlightens, he sanctifies, not us. That's how it went at the first Pentecost. These were just a bunch of Galileans, nothing special about them, at least not as far as anyone could tell. They're probably drunk, said some. And that's how it is with the Spirit. He doesn't show partiality. With the spirits, it's not the best, it's not the brightest or the biggest or the strongest. It's simply those whom he chooses for his use to declare the mighty works of God. What matters is the mighty works of God. A preacher can be as winsome and as convincing and eloquent and engaging as he can be, but without the mighty acts of God, he's just talking you out of your money, or patting you on the back, or telling you to do something. The tongues of fire, the speaking in other languages, it was all to lift up the mighty works of God. What matters is what he does. And the preacher is just there to tell it, no matter what his particular gifts or strengths might actually be. This office of the holy ministry, this office of Christ, in which the Holy Spirit works his saving grace, this office belongs to Jesus. And he bestows his Spirit, and his Spirit works through his Word. The spirit of the office is what our Lord breathed out on his disciples and poured out on Pentecost. And it's by this office of preaching that the Spirit does his work. That's why when we confess the Holy Spirit, we confess also the communion of saints, the church. The church is where the Spirit does his saving work. Through the church, he preaches to us and brings us to Christ. This gathering here, as mundane and ordinary as it may appear, is another Pentecost. Your preacher is just a regular Galilean who does nothing more than proclaims the mighty acts of God. But through this proclamation, in this place, the Spirit does His work of calling, gathering, enlightening you, and sanctifying you by the Word and blood of Christ. Here is the testimony of Jesus for you. By His cross, He won salvation. By His resurrection, He emptied the grave. By His ascension, He opened the kingdom of heaven for you. Apart from preaching the mighty acts of God, we could know nothing of Christ or believe in Him. For if all that He did was concealed and hidden, what good would it be for you? That's the work of the Holy Spirit, taking what belongs to Jesus and giving it to, declaring it to, all of you. Admittedly, there's no rushing wind or tongues of fire. And most of you only hear it in English, right? But the Spirit is the same. Christ's redemption is the same. And the gift given to you is the same. Here your sins are forgiven. Here the Word makes you holy. Here is everlasting life. But how easy it is to miss all of this. How easy it is to discredit the preacher as just another drunk Galilean. How easy it is to sleep in, to stay home, to go to the lake, to miss it altogether, or see something other than God among us. We're always looking for something new, something exciting, something I can use. Repent. It is not about you. What you get out of it, what you feel, or what you consider useful. And it's not about me. It's not about how winsome, eloquent, powerful, or lack thereof I may be. Pentecost reminds us that there is nothing but Jesus alone. His death is the death of death. His life is life to the fullest. And His Spirit makes all of this yours here and now today. Dear saints of the living God, the Holy Spirit has come to you. He has called you into Christ, gathered you with all the faithful, enlightened you with the truth, and sanctified you as His spotless bride, the bride of Christ adorned for her bridegroom, her husband, Jesus. And in this little congregation, each of us, with our own gifts, He binds us together in love. He frees us from false doctrine, from disunity, from anger and bitterness. He makes us one with Him, one with the Father, one with one another. And knowing that the devil is always at it, that the world rages, and how weak our flesh is, Jesus continues to come to us again and again and again, week after week. He will not leave us. He will not forsake us. And He will use even the simplest of Galileans to do nothing but preach to you Jesus Christ and Him crucified. This is Pentecost. The Spirit is here poured out for you in the preaching of the gospel. This is the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.